All right, let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Colossians in the New Testament, of course, and specifically chapter 3. All right, Colossians chapter 3. All right, there are a couple of verses here that I want to read just to get us down to the verse I want to preach from. So let's begin reading, please, in verse 10. Verse 10 of the third chapter. Verse 10 says, "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all." All right, so you say, well, what's the point there? No racism. That's the point. You don't look at somebody and determine who they are by the color of their skin. All right, it's a heart matter, Jesus said. If we all have the Lord in our hearts, then what's the problem? Verse 12, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering." Now look at verse 13, "Forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness." Put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. All right, I want you to look back at the beginning of verse 13. And we have a little statement here, forbearing one another. I want to speak to you on that subject tonight, forbearing one another. All right, let's pray and then the message. Now, our Father, thank you so much for the music that has stirred our souls. And now, Father, we have your word open before us. And I pray that you will bless your word in a mighty way. Father, we are so grateful for the way that your Holy Spirit encourages and comforts and gives us understanding. And I pray tonight that the Spirit of God will meet with us in a great way. And Father, give us ears to hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. And I pray that you'll touch each and every one of our hearts with the truth of this 13th verse. So bless us now, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. If a person is to live in this world with fullness of joy and with a fullness of his Christian life or her Christian life, I think there are three virtues that must be steadily and patiently sought after. All right, I think first of all, and I don't think anybody will disagree with me on this first one, but the first virtue is faith in God. Boy, we need faith in the Lord, don't we? You know, the Bible's very clear when the Bible tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so if you go through life without faith in God, then eventually, ultimately, somewhere down the road, you're going to find your life a tragic mess, all right? It's just going to be a mess. And so we need the Lord, faith in the Lord. A second thing, a second virtue that is needed, I think, is courage. Courage. You say, well, why do we need courage? Well, I've placed courage in this because every one of us travels a road that is sometimes steep and sometimes vast and sometimes very difficult to navigate. And therefore, we need courage as we go through life. So if we do not have a strong and determined heart to press on, we could very easily find ourselves in trouble. So we need the courage to keep pressing on. And then the third virtue that I think all of us need is the virtue of forbearance. That's what we read here in this tremendous little powerful verse of Scripture. Forbearing one another. Forbearing one another. And for some reason, we don't hear very much about this matter today, and we should. We should hear about this. The reason that we don't is because there are not too many people on the planet today who even know what forbearing one another means. They don't even know what it means. And so forbearance refers to holding back, all right? It refers to restraining oneself. It refers to showing immense patience and tolerance with others. And that is just something that I don't know where it happened, but somewhere along the way went out the door with people, with everybody doing the speed limit. You know, no forbearance whatsoever. It's get out of the way or get run over, right? And that's kind of where we are in our world today. And the whole idea of forbearance has somehow or another become something obsolete in our world today. Now, we know this is one of God's attributes, don't we? Sure, God displays forbearance, and I don't know about you, but I'm glad he does. I mean, if we got what we deserved, oh my, we'd all be in a mess, wouldn't we? But you see, the Lord has this forbearance in his heart, and so as we understand what forbearance is, we see the scriptures speaking often about God's forbearance. And it's usually speaking of God's forbearance by telling us that God today withholds judgment and that he is holding the punishment that all of us owe for sin. But God, in his forbearance, speaks to us in grace, all right? Not wrath and not judgment all the time, which I'm thankful for, aren't you? Yes, indeed, we all should be. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, Paul wrote these words. He said, "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." You know, if we got what we deserved, we'd never have an opportunity to repent, would we? I mean, we would get God's wrath and judgment down upon us, and there wouldn't be any opportunity for any of us to repent of our sin and put our faith in him. So we ought to be thankful for the forbearance of God in that he does not give us what we deserve. But then notice that Paul tells us in this verse that we are to be like the Lord. Yeah, when he's telling us in verse 13, forbearing one another, you read on, even as Christ forgave you, so do ye to others. You see, it's Christ is that way, and We ought to be that way. That's what Paul is saying here. So let's look at this strange little word tonight and see if we can learn just a little bit more of what Paul wants us to do with this matter of forbearing one another. The first thing I want you to notice is really so simple, but I'll state it and then I'll explain it. It's so simple you might not get it right out of the gate. So the first thing to notice is this. Notice some of the evils of an unforbearing spirit. Let's look at some of the evils of not forbearing one another. How's that? All right? Let's notice a couple of things that accompany someone whose nature and whose personality is that of not having a forbearing spirit. First, a non-forbearing spirit makes life a constant disappointment. Oh, it really does. I can remember, oh my goodness, like it was yesterday. I used to tease Glenn Matthews all the time when I'd see him. I'd say, oh, there's my hero. And he would say, now, Norris, I've told you, don't make heroes out of living people. You make your heroes out of dead people. They can't disappoint you. Now, that's a good lesson, isn't it? Make your heroes out of dead people because they can't disappoint you. And I would just laugh and I'd say, Glenn, but you're 85. And then he would say, if I could catch you, I'd choke you to death. But the point is, folks, listen, we got to be careful because a non-forbearing spirit makes life a constant disappointment. I mean, we never see the slightest trace of disappointment in the Lord Jesus anywhere in the four Gospels. He just was not disappointed. He had that forbearing spirit about him. Don't forget, folks, he was perfect. He had never sinned even one time. And everybody around him was sinning daily, regularly, especially the Apostle Peter. All right? And so we never see, though, disappointment in our Savior. We could call him a despised person. We could, but we cannot call him a disappointed person because he wasn't. The Bible says in John 1, 11, that he came unto his own and his own received him not. You say, well, he must have really been disappointed about that. No, because the 12th verse says, but to as many as believed him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Oh, he wasn't disappointed because some said no. He was excited because many said yes. And so praise the Lord for even one person who trusts Christ as Savior. Folks, listen, if we had gone all four nights last week or the week, it was last week, wasn't it? If we had gone 2 weeks ago, if we had gone all four nights and only had one person get saved, it would have been worth it. All right? It would have been worth it. Even one person coming to know Christ as their Savior. Man, what a blessing for that one soul. And we would all rejoice in heaven when that soul walked in, stand before the throne of God and say, and someone say, sir, how'd you get saved? Oh, well, I went to Living Cross on Tuesday night and I heard the gospel and I trusted Christ as my Savior. Well, praise God for that. That means that all the effort to get that tomb in here and all the effort to get those staircases up and all the effort to pick this Goliath up and move it four nights out of the week, it was all worth it. Taking all this stuff down and carrying it out, stacking it all over the property, it was all worth it. Even if one soul came to know Christ as their Savior. But the Lord Jesus, when he ascended into heaven from the Mount of Olives, do you think he entered into heaven's sweet glory and then looked at the seat beside his Father's right hand and then said, Father, this 33 and a half years that I've been down there on the earth was such a tragic disappointment? No, of course not. I guarantee you that his outlook was never disappointed in his earthly passage. He came and he did what he came to do, and he was satisfied. Let me remind you, Isaiah 53, and the Bible tells us that when God saw the travail of his soul, he was satisfied. I certainly think Jesus expected great things out of humanity, but he never expected the impossible out of humanity. And I like to think that he who made the heavens and he who upholds all things by the word of his power, who was a perfection personified, was ready to make allowances as he dealt with all the times that even his own disciples let him down. Sure. But he had a forbearing spirit. I think another evil of having a non-forbearing spirit is this. It presses the hardest on those that we love the most. Isn't that the truth? Think about it with me. We all know this, but our inability or our unwillingness to forbear one another becomes so detrimental to those who are the nearest and the dearest to us. Oh, we'll tolerate and forbear a stranger and then yell at our sister for walking across the room. Hello? My sister, she and I have kind of gotten close with her, with my dad staying out there with her. I went into the seventh grade when she went into elementary school. And then I graduated high school when she went into the seventh grade. So I really did not know my sister well. And but she and I have gotten close over the last year and a half or so because Dad is living with her. And so she'll text me and say something. Do you remember? You know, do you remember? And I don't remember. And because I there's some things I just tried not to remember. And but she'll say, do you remember when you used to torment me? And no, I never did that. What are you talking about? Oh, yeah. I said, Cheryl, no, you're dreaming stuff. That was your other brother. That was Mike. I never tormented you. And so, you know, but her memory is phenomenal. It's just phenomenal. She remembers details. Yeah, you said this and you did that. And so I'll laugh. And I said, I think you're just making all this stuff up. But the truth of the matter is, you know, we don't forbear our family. We will forbear somebody we don't know, but our own family. Well, we're not too forbearing there, are we? Many times not. So often we find it easier to be forbearing to those people that, as far as we know, we've never seen them in our entire lives. But then we're not forbearing to those that we are the most familiar with in our lives. We can be forbearing for someone we don't know, but with our own spouse or our own children or those that with whom we live are and are around the most, we are not forbearing, and we're just on the other end as difficult with them as we can be. And my Bible here says, forbearing one another. So let's be truthful, folks. I mean, how we could save ourselves a world of grief if only we could see sometimes how we are non-forbearing to those that love us more than anything else. I remember when I got about 15, maybe 14, okay, 13. I remember saying one time to myself, I never said it publicly or anything, but I used to say to myself, I don't know what happened to my mom and dad. They were the smartest people. And now all of a sudden they're just dumb as a box of hammers. You know? I thought, what happened to them? They bumped their heads. You know, all their brains rolled out one night while they were sleeping or something. And then I got 21. And when I got 21, it dawned on me, wait a minute. My mom and dad are they're the sweetest people on the planet. You know, my dad's the smartest guy that ever walked down the road. Isn't it amazing how we look at others, those that love us more than anything, and we won't forbear them? All right? And it should not be that way. There are husbands who are as gentle as they can be towards everybody else's faults except for the faults of his own wife. Yeah. Isn't it ridiculous and sad that we are forbearing of others but not forbearing of our own family? You better think about that. Secondly, what is the character of true forbearance? What's the character that it produces? Well, you know, it's really important that we understand this matter of forbearance, because the devil has his counterfeit for every grace, and a counterfeit grace is sometimes so much more harmful than any of us could ever imagine. The first thing is to realize that true forbearance begins with our thought life. Our thoughts. You know, we ought to, as Daniel did, purpose in our hearts that we will not defile ourselves with the king's food. You say, Pastor, don't you think Daniel got hungry? Of course he did. Of course he got hungry. All those guys, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Daniel, all of them, sure they got hungry. And they said, we can't eat that grease that you're feeding us. We can't eat it. There's too much pork. And we're not eating it. Our God said we can't eat it. You got too much lobster in the bisque. Can't have seafood. Can't have bottom feeders. And what is this, catfish? Can't eat catfish. And they said, we're not going to eat it. Well, what do you want? Well, we want cereal. That's what it was, wheat, pulse. All right, you can take your pulse, but you can also eat pulse. all right? It's cereal, it's wheat. And so they said, we don't want this grease. We're going to eat, we have our own diet, you bring us our diet. So they started bringing their diet. And they got healthier and more colorful in their faces than had they eaten all that junk that was brought in by the Babylonians. And so Daniel said, boys, I know you guys are hungry, and they just keep bringing pots of that grease in here. And I know it smells good, but you got to make up your mind. Make up your mind. We got a testimony here. We've got a testimony that we're protecting. And you got to make up your mind that you're not going to eat this stuff that our God forbids. And folks, we just have to make up our mind about this matter of being tolerant and forbearing and compassionate towards others. It's a mindset. It's a mindset. I told you all years ago, you know, down in West Virginia in the mountains, here's what they taught us. If somebody smacks you, you get a ball bat and beat them. If they get a... Now, go back to sleep, John. So if they come at you with a ball bat, get a gun, you know. If they have a little pistol, you get a cannon. You know, that's the mentality that I grew up with. And I can remember my dad saying to me once, if somebody goes to pick on you and you don't stand up for yourself, then you're going to have me to deal with when you get home. And I thought, well, now that's rude. I'm your son. You gonna beat me up if I don't stand up to the bully on the bus? Well, I found out that, yeah, that's pretty much what he was gonna do. And so I got on the bus, and that bully tried to knock books out of my hand. And so I took one of the books and I just let him have it. Right across the face. Well, I got kicked off the bus. By the way, I wasn't saved yet. Not making excuses, but I wasn't saved yet. But that history book just rung his bell. And he never picked on me again. And I went home, and my dad said, how'd it go today? And I said, well, I got kicked off the bus. He said, what do you mean you got kicked off the bus? I said, well, there's a sign up there that says no fighting. Oh, you got to fight? And I said, not really. I said, he tried to knock the books out of my hands, but he didn't do it. And the one book that I caught just happened to be that history book. And I decided I wanted to see how much of it he could eat. And my dad was just laughing. He just thought that was hilarious. And I said, so what's the deal here? Am I going to get in trouble? No, of course not. You done good, boy. You done good. Well, let me tell you something, folks. If I got a history book today and you knock it out of my hands, big deal. You know, I would not hit anybody today. I just wouldn't do it. He said, well, you stand there and get beat up. Well, I'm 71 years old. I'd hope somebody wouldn't beat me up now. You know? But no, I'm not going to fight. Why? I've grown in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And that's not what we do. But you see, your forbearance is a character trait. And we all need to have that spiritually minded, controlled by the Spirit mind. And that's how we develop the character of forbearance. That's how we develop that. You see, a spirit-controlled mind is a forbearing heart. It's just the way it works. I have had Christians say to me, but Pastor Norris, I'm just not that way. I know you're not. I wasn't either. But you get there as you grow in grace. You see, you realize that it's not all about, eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Oh, by the way, you better be thankful God doesn't view things that way. Amen. So I'm saying, folks, that we underestimate the importance of having a mind under control by the Holy Spirit of God. We just need to get in the Word, get in God's Word, grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And when you do, the more you're in the book and the more you're reading and learning and studying and memorizing and applying the Word of God, the more you think like God thinks. Yeah. Yeah. Could you see the Lord Jesus getting on a school bus and somebody knocking his books out of his hands and beating them with a history book? No. You can't fathom that, can you? And the reason is because he was not that way. We, on the other hand, are sinners. And we're that way. You say, well, Pastor, I can't help it. I know you can't. And God knows you can't. That's why he gives us this wonderful old book. And folks, if this book can take the fight out of me, it can take the fight out of you. Yes, it most definitely can. And you'll begin to think like the Lord Jesus thinks in all things. Let me show you one little quick Bible illustration of this. Go back for a moment to the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9. Luke's Gospel, chapter 9. All right, now I want you to watch this. Begin reading, please, in verse 51. And watch this carefully. Luke 9, verse 51. Verse 51 says, "And it came to pass, when the time was come, that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face. And they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him." So his plan was to go to Jerusalem. All right, he has his face set to go to Jerusalem. And so they sent messengers to a village of the Samaritans and to make ready, in other words, to get a room so he would have a place to eat and sleep for the night. Verse 53, watch. "And they," the Samaritans, are you watching? "And they," the Samaritans, "did not receive him." Do you see that? They did not receive him. Because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. Now watch, here's the disciples. All right, now these guys have been hanging around the Lord for almost 3.5 years now. But when his disciples, and by the way, here's the inner circle of the disciples. This is not just any old few disciples. These are the inner circle. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Now, you just listened to all this love and compassion and forbearance about to roll out of them. Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them even as Elijah did? How about that? Lord, can we just send down fire and destroy them all? We'll show them. Wait a minute. Isn't that awful? This wasn't even Peter. This was James and John. I'm shocked, aren't you? You're shocked. You look shocked. You ought to be shocked. Verse 55, look at it. But he, Jesus, turned and, what's the next word? Rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. In other words, Jesus turned and looked at him as if to say, you've been with me for 3.5 years? You knuckleheads, what's wrong with you? You know? What's wrong with you? Have you not learned a thing? Lord, we send down fire. Let us. We'll call down fire and destroy them. How dare they? No, guys. You're missing the point. We're not here to destroy people. We're here to help folks. We're here to love these Samaritans. I think that to me is just, it's amazing. So in other words, Jesus said, you know not what spirit ye are of. You know, your attitude's important, isn't it? Yeah. Your attitude is important. You say, well, Jesus rebuked them for their words. No, he rebuked them for their attitude. That's what he got on them about. Can we call down fire from heaven? No, you can't call down fire from heaven. You know? My dad wasn't saved when I got kicked off the bus. But my dad got saved about a month after I got saved. And we were talking about that one day. And I said, and Dad said, remember when you got kicked off the bus? And I said, yep. I said, that was a bad day. He said, well, if I remember right, I told you it was a good day. I said, yeah, you did, and you were wrong. And he said, yeah, I know that now. I know that now. You see, that's what knowing the Lord does for you. It changes. You get a forbearing spirit. Forbearance. The forbearance, true forbearance, should be independent of our moods. It just ought to be there, regardless of whether we're up or whether we're down. When we're in a good mood, when we feel good, and when we have plenty of money and plenty in the refrigerator and plenty in the bank, oh, it's easy to be forbearing one to another, isn't it? Yes. But I know one, and that one is with a capital O. I know one who has always and will always be forbearing of others. And that's our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, can I remind you that when they took him and beat him through the night, and as Isaiah said, his visage was marred more than any other. And let me remind you that when they put the cross on his shoulder and made him carry that cross until he fell beneath the weight of the cross. And then they got a man to carry the cross for him, and he had to stagger and crawl his way up Mount Calvary, up Golgotha. And they got him up there and laid him on that cross and took spikes and nailed them through his hands and his feet. And then they lifted that cross into a hole that was already prepared. And when that cross fell down in that hole and hit the bottom, everything went forward, including our blessed Savior. And they laughed. They laughed. They looked at him and said, he saved others, but himself he cannot save. If you are the Son of God, oh, how cruel. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross and we'll believe. Well, they wouldn't have. They wouldn't have. But that's what they said. And they cleared their throats and they spat upon him. And there he stood on that cross, hanging, bleeding, dying. And what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Do you think he looked at that crowd and said, Father, cast them all in the lake of fire right now? And had he said that, the Father would have been obliging and would have cast him into hell. But no, he did not say that. He said, Father, forgive them. Now, if that's not forbearance to the highest order, I don't know what is. I don't know what is. So let's have that forbearing spirit about us. Let's have that forbearing spirit about us. His forbearance did not leave him even in his time of greatest suffering. That's our Lord. And all that he asked us to do back in Colossians, the only thing he asked of us is, hey, why don't you be forbearing in spirit as well? I mean, Jesus was. He was. Why don't you act like Christ? Even so, forgave you, so also do ye. Christ forgave us. Why do we have to carry 10-year-long grudges? There are some folks they know the whole conversation from something happened 20 years ago and still not over it. And we wonder why the Lord doesn't bless. Very well could be right in front of us, but we can't see it. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Let's bow for prayer. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Would you let the Lord speak to your heart tonight? Just let the Lord do something in your heart. Say, Pastor, I need to be more forbearing. I understand that. I know that. And by the grace of God, I want to be more forbearing. It's a shame to go through life bitter, full of hate, full of anger. And I think we ought to be loving and forbearing one another. Father in heaven, you know our hearts tonight. And I pray that you will use your word to pierce down into our very being and help us to see ourselves tonight in the light of your word, forbearing one another. And Father, I am so thankful that you were and are forbearing towards us. One day you reached down into the pit and you lifted us out and set our feet upon the solid rock. And Lord, I thank you for the forbearance that you displayed towards me on that Sunday morning when I walked down the aisle and trusted Christ as my Savior. And Lord, you've been so forbearing in many other areas, in many other ways. And I thank you for that. And I pray now you'll help us all to just want to be like Jesus in this area. And we'll thank you for what you do in our souls. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.